As today's message will show, as I believe that 2 Peter wants to talk about, having faith, knowing what you believe, is not the whole picture. However, having faith and knowing what you believe is the foundation for being able to do. And so we have an affirmation of faith each time we gather at Daleville Christian Church. And this one from 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God's word for today is from 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 11. Speaking, of course, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Son of God, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never, never fall. And if you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. It is a blessing to me and to Daleville Christian Church that people find the sermons on the church's website. It could also be a blessing if you who hear a sermon would visit worship at Daleville Christian Church and or make sure you are in worship somewhere. We have one worship service on Sunday mornings at 9:30. I am a real pastor of a real church. That's the only reason I preach. Sermons and messages are to be the Word of God, its interpretation for the benefit of the hearers, and that for God's glory. Remember, this season before Easter, in this season of Lent, here at Daleville Christian Church, we're talking about love in action. Come to find out that living for Jesus, loving God, and loving one another isn't as easy as it might sound. The letter called 2 Peter is all about that. 2 Peter is rarely anyone's favorite book. Maybe because of the people that 2 Peter is dealing with. 2 Peter is dealing with people who claim to be Christians. The problem was that at that church in ancient days was that the so-called Christians were not very good Christians. These so-called Christians, or as a friend and I have dubbed them, sub-Christians, they claim the name, but they don't play the game. We might say they talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. But it's even worse than that. These so-called Christians don't even talk the talk, so they will not walk the walk. They claim Jesus in name only. Whatever churches this letter is written to, the letter describes the people who are causing problems, and the letter describes them as lawless. The letter states that these people twist Scripture to make it suit their own purpose. Their behavior brings the Christian faith into disrepute. These people are experts in greed. What a description. These folks are not just greedy. They are experts at being greedy. And they claim Jesus Christ. And they exploit others, self-willed and arrogant. Not only are they themselves led astray, they lead other Christians astray. Their eyes are full of adultery. Another powerful description. These Christians are not just bad Christians, they are pernicious. They are harmful to the church. So maybe we don't need this book very much because this group of so-called Christians are not in this church, not in Daleville Christian Church. But if we don't look at 2 Peter, we would miss what the apostle is trying to say for the rest of us. And one thing the apostle is talking about is love in action. For the apostle, in this letter, faith is only the starting point for the Christian life. And he says in our Bible verse of the week, make every effort to add goodness. Add goodness to your faith. Are you adding goodness to your faith? Are you adding goodness to your belief? Now, this word goodness is usually understood as the word virtue. And maybe that's a good translation, but in our day it seems that virtuous is not a word we often use to describe someone. Maybe because virtue may be hard to see or notice. Virtue in our day seems to be an inner quality. The word virtue is a noun, not a verb. Virtue is not an action word. And in the first four definitions of virtue are the word quality. Now, a person might do quality work, but that's the result of the inner quality which we do not see. I even read that these days we don't even use the word virtue very much. But follow me on this. We often will call someone good based on what we see. For example, the school I come from plays good basketball, right? The emphasis here is on what's being exhibited. People will often use incorrect grammar and say, you did good. You done good. Good job. Even the correct grammar, you have done well, places the emphasis on doing. This is where the emphasis is in 2 Peter. To faith, which we cannot see, the apostle states, add goodness, something you can see, something others can see. The Greek word has other meanings like glory, as in God's glory. And glory is often described in the Bible as visual. The angels appeared to the shepherds and their glory shone all around. Another meaning of the Greek word for virtue or goodness is used for God's manifestation of power or even miracles, things that are seen. Remember, the behavior of the lawless, which can be seen, is bringing the Christian faith into disrepute. That is not how it's supposed to work, right? Rather, do good that brings reputation, a good reputation, to Jesus Christ and His church. Near the end of the letter, after talking about the bad Christians and the end times, the apostle states, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, you're looking forward to the end, Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God in Christ. Since you're looking forward to the end, make every effort. Please notice, our efforts do not win heaven. Heaven is won. And that is why we make the effort. Because heaven is already won for us by Jesus Christ. And that's why you make every effort. We get it turned around. We think the efforts will give us heaven. No, heaven's there. Now, make an effort because heaven is yours. And the apostle gives us two reasons why the Christian faith should have a good reputation. A good reputation for doing good. First of all, God has supplied the believer for that very purpose. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness because God has supplied you for that purpose. This is one reason God wants us to do good, because God's made it possible for us to do good. But that isn't how we think in our culture, is it? Some churches don't think that way either. What do people often say? Oh, leave him alone. He isn't doing anything wrong. God has not supplied us merely to keep us out of trouble. Do I need to repeat that? God has not supplied us merely to keep us out of trouble. Our Lord expects us to do good and give Jesus' church and Jesus a good reputation. The apostle states, we are to participate in the divine nature. We just don't sit there and watch the divine nature. We don't just appreciate the divine nature. We're supposed to participate in the divine nature. So, one reason to do good. Because God's made it possible through Jesus Christ. And then if we miss that point, the apostle states plainly, we should not be unproductive or ineffective. In a couple of places, the New Testament talks about growing. And the Bible says, Colossians chapter 1, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And what does one of our own statements of faith say from Titus chapter 2? For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and, you know, we say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. And to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us and to purify for himself a people eager to do what is good. That we not be unproductive or ineffective. The apostle also states we are to be Jesus' own. Jesus owns us. Are you not sure? Well, the apostle himself calls himself a slave. Chapter 1, verse 1. A slave of Jesus Christ. Now, many versions of the Bible say servant. It's the same word in Greek. Would you care to guess how common a paid servant was in the ancient world? Why pay someone to be your servant when you can own a slave? Doesn't make economic sense. Besides, if you have slaves and former slaves in your congregation, you tell me which is the better translation. A slave of Jesus Christ. You know, only the very rich and royalty would have paid servants, and I imagine that would be for a special skill or abilities. And a servant could change his employer. A slave can never change his owner. The owner decides who the slave is in the owner's household. That means that the slave to Jesus' relationship is inalienable. We are possessed. We are owned by Jesus Christ, and I think I have listed that 1 Corinthians passage where it says, we were bought with a price, as are slaves, bought with a price. Jesus has paid for us. We are to be at the Lord's disposal. Now, you've heard that old joke, man arrives for worship that has not attended worship in years. On the way out, the man says to the pastor, yes, sir, pastor, I am in the Lord's army. And this makes the pastor confess he has not seen the man in worship in quite a long while. And the man responds, well, that's because I'm in the Secret Service. Now, I do need to say that there are times in our lives when the Lord calls us to simply wait. And while we wait, we are still at the Lord's disposal, not doing anything. That's why God's word says in Psalm 37, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Jesus even tells a story about a slave waiting for the master. And the slave is good because he waits for the master. But even the Lord's army, if not fighting in the field, will necessarily train for the day that the Lord's army is called to be in the field. Our own troops, if not serving in distant lands, train for the day when they might be called to go to distant lands. Those troops are not idle. Neither are we to be unproductive or ineffective. A slave is to be obedient. There are plenty of verses in the Bible to indicate this is the best thing, to be obedient, to actually do. It isn't whether we do well enough or do well. With the Bible, it appears to be pretty much do or don't do. There's no middle ground. Obey or disobey. There isn't any room for lying around. Now, there's room for asking for clarity. There's room for thinking about the best way to go about it. But the most important thing is to do what the Lord asks you to do. In case you weren't sure, slaves didn't have a day off except the Sabbath. But realize that keeping the Sabbath was obedience to God. Keeping the Sabbath was doing something for God. God commanded it for the Israelites and their slaves. You know, with 2 Thessalonians and 2 Peter, it's going to be really tough to make a case that we are in the Lord's secret service so that no one knows our service. That's not going to wash in the Thessalonian and churches of Peter. The Christian faith is not an intellectual exercise. The Christian faith is a way of life. Jesus said, I am the way. The earliest followers of Jesus were called the way. That all implies that we are moving, on the move, following the way of Jesus. Jesus, who himself was a servant and showed us how to be love in action. Jesus' divine power has been given us and given us everything we need for a godly life. To give his church and to give Jesus Christ a good reputation. Amen.